Now today we want to pay tribute to all mothers. There is a very famous little line that says, "They say that man is mighty, he governs land and sea, he wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger, man from his throne has hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And on this Mother's Day, I want you to think of these Proverbs. 6 verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 10:1, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 15:20, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." And Proverbs 19:26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." And 20:20 says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." And I think you get the idea that God, speaking through Solomon, gives it a very clear message that only the fool will think little of his mother. There has been a very interesting study by a researcher on teenagers. And the research discovered that young teenagers, probably 13 right up to 16 or so, that they lost their ability to read their parents' facial expressions, to read their solemn moods, to read their joyous moods, to read whenever they approved or disapproved. And that loss of perception put a distance between parents and young teenagers. Now, we learn from that teenagers have problems, and sometimes they misunderstand the whole leadership and guidance of parents. The good news is that at about 17 or maybe 18, that ability returns, and that young children begin to better understand their parents and to grasp even the moods and the expressions that they are, and the messages that they are sending. Now, here in the book of Proverbs, Solomon, God's messenger in this book, is speaking to the young man. And of course, it puts a great emphasis upon the parental and child relationship, the family. And you know the adage, "The apple seldom falls far from the tree." There is an expectation that children are going to be like their parents. They're going to be like them because genetically they are made from the same DNA. And there are going to be those physical likenesses. But what parents pass on to their children is much more than just the physical. There is the attitude, the values, the walk with God, and of course their knowledge of truth and righteousness. Now, wise parents will be a great boon to their children. Not just rich parents. There are many rich parents who are very poor at parenting, and their weakness is that they tend to be soft and tend to almost give their children anything that pleases. And they may well raise pompous wasters, those that don't fit in society, and those that lose their skills and disciplines that will make them a benefit in life. And of course, it can start right off at kindergarten, when that little 4 or 5-year-old starts, and all the things that the mom and dad has trained along the years, or perhaps we should say the things that they have not trained them in, they show up on day one at kindergarten. And of course, in the parents' eyes, my little Johnny can do no wrong. And when teacher complains or someone else complains, they are off and they could never possibly think ill of my little boy. Well, here today in the book of Proverbs, we have a word for every young person. And I think we have words of wisdom for parents on how to raise our children for God. And I trust that on this Mother's Day, when we want to encourage mothers for the blessing that they are and the difficult task that they have, that the Lord will have a word for your heart and a word for your soul today. So let's look at this text, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And here we see the priority which Solomon, and indeed God speaking through Solomon, gives to obeying parents. How vitally important it is. Now remember, Proverbs 1 verse 7, we had the proverb of all proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, this is second in line. Fearing the Lord leads us to honoring our parents, because God has made that priority. It is the same priority as is given in the Ten Commandments. When God gave the Ten Commandments, the first commandment with promise is to honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so this is reiterated here in Proverbs, and again it's in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2 in the New Testament, and this priority is reemphasized and it is hammered home over and over again. And so God has decreed the family unit. And I want you to think of the unique hand of providence at work by which he maintains that family unit. Well, we read in Ephesians 5 that a young man is to leave his mother and father, and he is to cleave to his wife, and they to be one flesh. There is the new family formed. And that is God's order. In providence, God gives in every nation, in all societies, an equal number of boys and girls. Now, I know in some families it turns out to be all girls, or as in our case, four boys and one girl, and that doesn't seem to be anywhere near equal. But it is quite amazing that over a nation that there is such an equality of boys and girls that are born into the world. If there was not the guiding hand of an all-wise creator, we could have a lopsided affair. And of course, when men start tampering with abortion and one-child policies and so on, they end up disturbing the balance, the equality of male and female. And in various countries where abortion has been practiced at a high, high rate, this has become a major problem. And if we just let God have his way, he knows what he is doing. The other act in providence that God has given the family unit is the weakness of childhood years and the weakness of old age. And in the family unit, God has the answer. When a young calf is born, maybe a dairy cow has a baby calf, within minutes, it's on its feet. It can nurture and feed itself on its mother, and it can run alongside within a very short time. So it is rapidly growing into independence. When children are born into our homes, we are into an 18-year cycle of care through all the needs and phases of life, from infancy of total helplessness until the toddler stage when they're learning to walk, and then getting to school and education, teenage years, right up to those years when they may be seeking their own partner in life and establishing their own home. And in all of that, they need the guidance, the care of mother and father. In the Bible, for the patriarchs of the Bible, to have children was the mark of riches. And when God opened the womb and blessed with children, that was considered the hand of God, the blessing of God. We read earlier of Hannah, and we know that for a time that she was childless. And when she prayed and God gave her a child, she had great reason to praise the Lord. And so for all these reasons, we see the family unit being God's way, and God gives it priority. And when that is disrupted, when someone tunes out of the family unit, when young people despise the instruction of their father or mother, become rebellious, the prodigal in the home, well, it leads to all kinds of problems and of issues. I think from this pulpit I've told before the story of the man who was caring for an elderly father. And when the father was at the table, of course, he was unable to feed himself very well. He spilt his food, he drooled, and they just put him back in the corner, gave him a wooden bowl, and let him eat alone. One day, the children were out around the home, and they were working, whittling at wood. And the father came to them and said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We are making a wooden bowl. Because, Dad, one day you're going to need a wooden bowl." And it sank in that how we treat our parents may well rebound upon ourselves. And so God has given us very clear guidance and very firm instruction of maintaining that family unit at every stage of life. I have some notes here on Marxism and communism and the experiments that they did in Russia, Eastern Europe, and how they took children away from their parents, put them in orphanages, raised them, and very often their elite SS, the elite police, were used from those children. Their consciences were hardened. They were like steel, and they were bloody, murderous, and hardened people that served the state and were taken away from their parents. And so the church should be at the foremost for preserving the family unit, to encourage mother and father and children to walk together, live together in building one another up as they seek to live for God. Now we come, secondly, to the humility that is required to honor parents. To be in submission to parents is to recognize a few things. Back here in Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." To obey that requires humility, and it requires submission. And the thing to remember is that in life, God has put your parents in his place. They are his vice regents. You are answerable to your parents as if you were answerable to God. Now, under the law of the Old Testament, when a son or a daughter rebelled to the point that they no longer heeded their parents, they were to be brought by the parents and by the elders to hear their case. And when those children were guilty of insubordination to parents and in a rebellious manner, they were to be taken out publicly, stoned. They were put to death. You can read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 21, 18 to 21. And it was a process that was followed when children became unmanageable in the home, heedless of parents. They were taken to the judges to be stoned publicly. Can you imagine the message that would send in society? Can you think of how parents would have that means of curtailing the rebellious ways of children? And I'm sure that any young person here today is very glad that you're not living under that Deuteronomy law today and that you are in danger of such stoning. But what it does teach you, that it is God's will that you take the counsel, take the advice, the guidance of your parents. They are to be feared. They are to be reverenced because they are in the place of God in your young life. Now, this falls out in many ways. Parents are in the place of God to care for their children in their days of infancy. It is the parents' responsibility to provide all the necessities of life: food, warmth, guidance, safety, all of those things that are needed that they might develop. And just as they are responsible for providing the necessities of life, they are also responsible for your soul also, that you might hear his word, hear the gospel, and be brought to a good spiritual understanding of the Lord. Because they are God's beacons to warn you of the dangers that are in this world. This world is not a safe place. This world is a place of anarchy. It's a place of corruption. It's a place of defilement. And it becomes the burden of parents to direct and guide you in the right direction. And so in this way, parents are God's gifts to guide their children. Now note something here in the text. It says in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." A godly mother, a mother of the Bible, will have clear laws in the home. They become consistent rules of the home, and they keep them for blessing. And children break them at their peril. This is a mother to be feared. And of course, there are consequences for dishonor. In the home where I was staying this week, during the 5 days, 4 nights I was lodging, I was staying in a home, a member in our Greenville church, and Mrs. Pinkston told me about her grandmother. She was a strong German woman, and some teacher, she herself is a music teacher and moves in those circles, and teachers were complaining that today it takes 3 people to look after children in a class situation. It takes a teacher, an aide, and perhaps another helper of any sizable class. There was a day when single room schools had up to 50 children and one teacher. Of all ages, how did they do it? And the answer was mothers. Mothers that have a firm grip of the home, of the hearts of the children with firm laws, with consequences. They are trained to behave, to learn, to obey. And it has been well known in educator circles that where children do not obey, it so often is traced back to the mother in the home. Now, moms, I'm not laying a guilt trip on you. You are the one that can answer this one. But so much depends upon your training, upon the law of the mother. We're living in a society today where raising children is looked upon as anything goes, and spoil your children, do give them everything they want, and it's not your role to teach them and to train them. Well, it is. Well, it is. And we see the law of the mother in this very text. Also, it is to be in submission to Scripture. If you look at verse 9, you will see that it refers, "My son, hear, my son, hear." Now, godly parents will guide their children according to the word of the Lord. Every precept should be based on the values of the Bible. Now, knowing that and having raised children ourselves and all the questions that come up and the situations that come up, you can't always give to your children book, chapter, and verse. That's right, that's wrong. There's the verse in the Bible for it. Why is it wrong to go to the bowling lane at 10 o'clock on Friday night, but you can go on Saturday morning? What's the difference? Well, on Saturday night, the music prohibits it, and the company that there prohibits it. It is a whole different atmosphere on the Friday night than it is on a Saturday morning. Those are little nuanced things. Judgment calls, wisdom, seeking to guide your children away from worldly influence, but at the same time not holding back on the fun, allowing them to do those things that are good, clean, proper fun. And parents need that wisdom, and they need to be able to teach their children in the right way. Now, the rare exception is when parents are leading children contrary to the Bible. Those things, unfortunately, happen. Where you have young people in a home where parents are not obeying God. And if a mother or father asks you to break one of the Ten Commandments, what are you to do? Well, you would grieve the Holy Spirit, you would grieve God, and you would go in a wrong path. And so even children need that guidance, that they fear the Lord. That's first. And then as much as possible, fear parents, walk in those ways that honor them and that serve him. And it really comes down to humility. It really comes down to humility. And it is that work of the heart whereby you truly want to walk in the way of the Lord. Now, honoring parents bestows honor. That's a huge principle in the book of Proverbs, indeed all of the Bible. Honoring parents bestows honor. Look at verse 9. "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Now, in ancient times, people made wreaths to bestow honor. That was certainly a tradition in the Olympic Games, and they ran for the honor of the green wreath that was hung around their head. You can see also that there's reference here to chains about thy neck. This is the honor that is bestowed upon someone that might be a king's favorite or someone that has conquered and brought honor to the nation. Now, the honor here is not the material ornaments, but the ornament of graces. And it is seen in the happiness and the blessedness of children in the home. There is the adornment of contentment. And that's something that every parent wishes in the home. We may not never may make our children rich, prosperous, or popular in this world. But to bestow upon our children the grace of contentment, it is better than an heir to millions and great riches. The spirit of contentment. What a wonderful thing to have a contented child. Now, we know it's true for an infant. When that new infant comes into the home and it's just a placid, good, feeding, contented child, sleeps when it should sleep, and is no trouble at all, a contented infant. Now, that's rare. Any parent that gets one of those children, you better give out the secret of how to raise a child like that from infancy. Every parent walks the floors at night. Every infant has little problems that keeps it unhappy. But now we're talking about children as 3, 4, 5, school age, to have a contented child, a child that knows the boundaries, what to do, what not to do, recognizes that this is for their good and for their encouragement, and learns to live in the sweetness of fellowship with their parents. That is a tremendous gift. And mother, you are at the heart of giving that gift to your child, the adornment of contentment. Then there is the adornment of earthly prosperity. And I'm referring here to the promise that is given, that thy days may be long in the land. The promise of honoring parents, that thy days may be long in the land. And there is earthly prosperity. People who know the truth, walk in the light of God, and in fellowship with their parents, they know these blessings. Now, there's also spiritual prosperity. Now, I've spoken about contentment. We might call that the most general benefit of all. We'll call that general. Just to have a happy, contented child. Then there is this earthly prosperity, living long in the land. And that also leads to spiritual prosperity. And that is grace in the soul. The young person who has learned submission to father and mother in the home, to honor them and to honor the Lord, will have the ministry of the Spirit. Now, this is a channel of grace. But the son or the daughter who defies, detests the headship of parents, will grieve the Holy Spirit and will not enjoy those spiritual graces that are the will of God for them. How can he fall on his knees? How can he come to the house of God and pray for God's blessing when all the while disobeying, rebellious to parents? The blessing doesn't flow. And so parents and children, see the benefit, see the importance of having that order in your life. Parents that are honored, children that are obeying and walking in the orderly rule of their parents. And then that brings us to spiritual prosperity, usefulness to God. And that's really why I thought on Hannah and Samuel. If you remember how Hannah prayed for a child, and she promised the Lord that if God would give her a child, that when it or he is weaned, that she would return that child to God. And when you get to 1 Samuel 3, you will see how when Hannah raises Samuel to a very young boy, she takes him to the temple, and he comes to live with Eli in the temple. And you know the story of how he lives with Eli, and he heard God speaking to him in the middle of the night, and there was the cry, "Samuel, Samuel." And Eli taught him to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Well, Samuel grew to be a man of God. He grew to be a great blessing to the nation. And every mother who has a young boy, young girl, you want to see your child to be a blessing to God and to his church and to his people. What a great testimony that will be to the power of the gospel unto men. Now, the real reason why a young man or woman will honor father and mother is because they have a gospel heart. It's because the Lord in his grace gives them a new heart. They are born again, born of the Spirit. Now, I know that that is the unique sovereign work of God to convert a child. But let's realize God uses means. He uses your example. He uses your testimony. He uses his word as the seed of the gospel that is sown in the hearts of our children. And mother and father, you will never regret spending too much time sowing the seed of the gospel in the heart of your children. You may regret as they grow up through those early years so rapidly. And when they get to those teenage years and their ear is not toward God, you may regret that you didn't spend that early opportunity to sow the seed of the word within their hearts. And so seek to train your children to gain their respect, to walk in that way that deserves honor and that God will use to bring boys and girls, children to faith and to seek the Lord with a new heart. And young people today, children here today, you need to be saved. You need a new heart because that old sinful nature will be a plague to you. I want you to hear the words of the Lord Jesus, and these are quoted in Matthew 18, where the Lord said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God." Everyone needs to be converted, and everyone needs the heart of a little child. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God." And so it is the gospel that gives us new hearts. It is the gospel that gives boys and girls a willingness and a yieldedness to serve the Lord and to follow him. Now, this would be the very best Mother's Day for some boy or girl, some son or daughter, if you give your heart to the Lord. And that would make you a son indeed, or a daughter indeed, in the home and in the family. And to love the Lord will enable you to love your mother and father. And so today, come home. If you're like the prodigal that has despised your home, despised your parents, and gone out into the far country, today, come home. Seek the Lord. Trust in him. Believe in his promises and in his mercy. And I trust that these words from Proverbs My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, that these will be written on your heart, and that you will truly follow the Lord.